Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my Blog Psychology Radio show. My name is Dale McCluskey. I would like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be discussing the issue of physical force and offering up a definition that follows how dogs connect to people at the social relational level. And so when you look at the issue of at the, you know, appearance level, at the physical level, it's very important to begin to bring the focus on to the person themselves to get an understanding of how dogs, or this issue of physical force, and how that relates beyond just the interaction, beyond the physical interaction with dogs, how that really packages up relationally and influences change. And this is where I really am going against the kind of mainstream narrative that's offered up as to what dog training is. What I show that it is a relational changing process. Dogs are social relational beings, and their decision-making process is influenced primarily at that level. So, therefore, once you start to get, in tune to how dogs connect to us and what that represents through how the decision-making process is influenced, and further looking at unwanted behavior issues and what they represent as it relates to a dog's state of mind, you'll start to really see why it is so important to make sure that in the training process itself, that the focus shifts entirely onto the person. That what I show is change, meaningful change comes in and through the person relationally. It's defined relationally because that's how dogs connect with us. And that's their perception through that connection. It really does influence how they think. And it's a very profound and deep connection. It's shared through pack, through the pack relationship, relationally, and through nature. And it's a unique connection that's shared also with the human. And that's what makes dogs very special. That's why if you look at the power of this connection and what makes dogs very special to us in our lives, it transcends just appearances. It goes deeper than that. And so, but to actually get to a point where we can actually enjoy our dogs and be able to have a mutually happy and balanced relationship with our dogs, we have to see the critical importance of our role in nature. That's really key, is to see just how critical it is regarding how we think and how this connection, the shared connection, how that's established, making sure that, and they use the example, because oftentimes it's, I understand it's very difficult for people to get their heads around this sometimes, because there's some layers to this. There are some twists and turns, and it makes it very difficult, say, for the average dog owner to kind of get what I'm saying at a certain level, because we think a certain way. I mean, as humans, we really what we see with our eye, you know, we'll invest a lot into that, you know, into, appearances. And this is why, if you look at, if you want to draw an example as to why I show that appearances can be very deceiving, they can get us into a lot of trouble if we're not looking at beyond just the reasons, or beyond just the dog responding or going through the motions of the, mainstream, obedience training script. Where trainers are building, a picture of change. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're looking at, and this is going to go into this issue of physical force, they're building this picture of change through using, say, treats and, motivating the dog to for this picture to be built up, which we take at face value. We'll take that and say, wow, that looks fantastic. The dog is doing the sitting and down and the come and the stay. And, we'll take that at face value because that's how it's being promoted and saying, well, that's a picture of change. So Therefore, my problems I'm having with unwanted behavior must be going backwards. And the truth of it is, and this is what, you know, is really the big problem in the dog training world, is that that's not always true. Okay, if change isn't being defined in and through the person, so the person's actually coming into right relationship, isn't fulfilling their place and their role in nature through leadership. And then, Mitchell, I'm going to talk about the specifics of change through the actual scripting itself, why that is important beyond just the idea of fulfilling a leadership role. I mean, you could have the idea of it and be changing how you think somewhat at a good level, but it may not still be enough if the scripting isn't specific. And I'm going to talk about that again, about the specific of the scripting, why that's important to in order for to promote change, to make sure that a dog's decision-making process is actually being influenced at a meaningful enough level that's going to make a big difference. I mean, that's part of it. And this is why getting in this issue of balanced training, that can be a huge problem, because what I show is there's no such thing as balanced training. I know that there's a whole culture built up here, kind of a mainstream way of thinking about dogs and behavior, which is a huge problem. I mean, it's very entrenched. This is why, you know, looking at the big picture and how many problems we're still having with dogs, why really the big picture isn't being fixed. It's becoming more of a problem because, you know, in a overall way, people's thinking isn't really, it's not really changing. People aren't, you know, looking at the real problem. I mean, that's what's happening. So balanced training is a problem because it's not identifying the real problem, because it's actually part of the problem, okay? Because what's happening is, and you know, you say, well, you ask the question, well, Dale, what is the problem? Well, the problem is this idea that training is a learning-based exercise, okay? So this ideology, this idea about learning and how that is incorporated and what that represents relationally, when you introduce that concept, what happens is it shifts the focus away from change coming in and through the person being the focus, focal point of change. It shifts the focus onto the dog, okay, because then we get into this issue of why it's a problem, because, again, we're using certain motivating agents such as treats to build this picture of change again, going back to what I was saying about the building this picture of change. And so the dog is moving around and doing the things that we perceive as representative of change, but we're not looking at the problem here. And this is a really big takeaway point on this show, is that not many people, I don't know any offhand at all except myself, actually going deeper and saying, okay, here's the problem. We're not looking at the motives, okay, that underpin response or the reason why dogs go do what they do. Okay, I mean, you can build that bridge. But, and again, to use the example as to why there's such a problem with this idea about learning and how it's incorporated into this script-building process, and why it is that it's not always representative of change. It can be a total counterfeit picture. It can be totally upside down. Is all you need to do is go into the human world and look at the narcissistic narrative, okay, the reason why people that lack empathy will go about and keep that narrative going. We'll do certain things, but it's totally absent of them actually caring at all. They're totally devaluing people. They see everyone as a supply source. Well, it's actually almost identical. It's very, very similar. So if you get into the issue of unwanted behavior and you look at a dog's state of mind, how it will connect to and it'll seek out power that way. And even this issue about dogs being with certain people or accepting certain personality types, it's based on this issue of devaluation, okay? There's a relational narrative here that's very, very similar and very deceptive, because, you know, just like being with a narcissistic person, people who have empathy, okay, and care, they'll be blindsided, they'll be fooled, because the person is doing all the right things at the appearance level is happening. Okay, even with the narcissist, you see all the right things, the person will, even though the motives are not good, okay, the motives, they totally don't care, but they're still going through the motions because they know that if they're exposed, it's a problem to them. Okay, now getting back to the whole issue of dogs, I mean it's more deeper than that. Okay, it actually is an issue of devaluation. It's more simplistic in terms of dogs and nature and what's defined through strength and weakness and how that connects to the person themselves is the pivot point. And then once the dogs are gaining power, what happens is they're seeing people more in the context of a means to an end, as property. Now, their motives are more simplistic, so it's not like they're purposely trying to manipulate things. I mean, that can actually appear to be that. But it's not. It's just the way that nature goes. It's the path that dogs take to how they connect. And so getting back to this issue of physical force, and that really, physical force really kind of intertwines, intersects other things, such as, say, the dominance issue. People talk about dominance. Leadership. I mean, it's another concept, talking about, you know, the idea about leadership. What does that mean? But when you look at, you know, packaging all these terms up and trying to define at the physical level what does any of this really mean, you have to step back and you have to package it up. You have to look at it at the relational level, okay? So just like asking the question, how does a parent create parental influence? It goes part and parcel into the relationship that's established through parent and child. To just try to define something by getting a, and this is the problem with this ideology that people promote about, you know, learning and a failure to recognize that the motives and assess or be able to qualify the motives that underpin the response. People are not looking at behavior that way. They're not looking at, change that way. They're just taking, behavior and just, or they're just taking the appearances and just packing it up. So anyway, just something to look at. I'm looking here close at my countdown here. I believe this show may have been shorter. And so it may be a problem here in terms of how much time I got left. So, but just if you need help with your dog, I'd really encourage you to check out my website. It has lots of great training options. If you have questions about this whole issue of, you know, of the scripting, of physical, what does physical force mean, the specifics, too, of the actual script. And, again, getting back to this point, when you look at the actual specifics of the script, beyond just the idea of leadership, that also makes a big difference. It matters a lot as to how change is defined relationally through the actual scripting process. So when you look at my script and how it's defined, what you'll see is I make a distinction between relational and corrective influence. Okay, there's a distinction between both. One's reactive, one's proactive, but there's also a issue of, yes, influence is needed, but it's how it comes online through the scripting process to promote change. That's a real big distinction. I'll talk about that on my next show. So just quickly, I just want to let everyone know I'm going to be taking a couple weeks off from the radio shows just over the Christmas holidays. I'll be back at this point, I believe January the 4th will be my next show. So I encourage you to check out my past shows. Catch up in the meantime. Lots of great videos on my website. I made a ton of videos available for free, so you can check out my videos. If you need help with your dog, I'm located in Clarksville. It's where I used to live years ago. I'm located in St. Cloud, Florida. If you have and need help, have questions, just feel free to contact me anytime. I'm more than happy to help you out. And there's Skype help as well, distance available on my website. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Take care.